minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Welcome into another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's been a minute. My name is Matt Fralick. Alongside me, as always, is Janelle Mackey. Janelle, we record actually for the first time off of a game. It's a Sunday night. Emotions are not what I expected tonight right now. I was hoping to have at least, you know, like, oh, Rodgers threw a pick late, or, oh, we got the W, but that's not the case. How are you feeling right now?
I really don't know how I'm supposed to feel right now. I felt that if I take away just the last couple minutes of that game, I'd be feeling a lot better. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And the late fumble caused a lot of disappointment with me. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm mad, I'm upset, disappointed, because physically, this was a great game.
Mm-hmm.
But the mental error at the end cost us the game.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, everyone's going to focus on, everyone always does, no matter what sport, you know, if you miss a layup to win the game, you know, with 0 seconds left, you miss a tackle or you fumble the ball or whatever it may be, drop a fly ball, everyone always focuses on the last play. I mean, there were some miscues throughout the game. You know, let's not forget that Sam Shields downs the ball at the half-yard line, former Packer, and we decide to run the ball with Aaron Jones, and, you know, get a safety. Like, they get their first points on the board.
Yeah,
like,
that was questionable to me, especially if you have Aaron Rodgers. I think that there's a better chance of getting the ball out with him throwing it. And the only thing I could really think of with why we would run the ball in that situation is because the Packers didn't want to risk a pick six
yeah.
so close to the end zone. That's really the only thing I can think of as to why they would play call that way. But
and that's a
at
weird
the same
approach.
Time,
mm-hmm.
Rodgers doesn't throw many interceptions. If anything, he's just going to throw it away.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have Davante Adams, who's one of the best slant receivers in this game. You know,
exactly.
Throw it to him or throw it to someone quick out of the backfield. So that was goofy. I mean, there were plays along that happened throughout the whole game. Even on the first, I think it was like the first punt the Rams had, I noticed they had a kind of one of their gunners was like almost lined up in no man's land, like in between the line and where a normal gunner would be. And I was like, that's kind of goofy. It looked like they're trying to set up a fake. And then they go ahead and actually do that at some point during the game, which mm-hmm. it almost like they were showing their hand early. But you have to expect that, I guess, with John Hecker, who's could play quarterback here and there.
It was a game of a lot of questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm just, you know, we haven't recorded a podcast in a while, so it's some of these players that we're seeing on the field a little bit more or less. You know, I would say in the last couple weeks it's been Aaron Jones. Like, is he going to get his touches finally? Well, we finally saw that today.
Yeah.
And fortunately or unfortunately, he had 12 touches. I would rather it have been 11 because then yeah. he doesn't actually have the safety.
Exactly.
But there were times, again, where play calling, they just go away from Aaron Jones. For some reason, Mike McCarthy thinks, you know, start the game strong. Great first quarter in my mind. I think that was the best 15 minutes of football I've seen from the Packers this year.
I'm glad that they, for once, started off hot.
Exactly.
Instead of having to kind of climb the ladder, they started hot and then kind of fluctuated a little bit after the half. After, I think, the safety, that's mm-hmm. where you could feel the momentum switch.
For sure.
From Packers to Rams. And then from there on out, it was just kind of slowly fluctuating back and forth.
Yeah, definitely. And, again, like I said, Aaron Jones, you see more production out of him, and you know I'd like to see him get the ball. You know, 15, I think 20 times is pushing it, just with the way the offense runs. You know, we're 68%. They said throwing team, which is a lot. But again, second quarter, you kind of go away from Aaron Jones, and then you know towards the end of the game, you see him just explode again. Like where is that in the middle of the game?
That seems to be the pattern where they'll start with Aaron Jones and he's running well, and then all of a sudden you don't see him mm-hmm. for a while. And then
and it makes sense if you're doing that for a breather. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you can spell him.
If he needs to go take a rest, do that. But for him to not play for, like, quarters at a time, mm-hmm. just it kind of gets him out of a rhythm.
Yeah.
Like, if he's feeling it, then keep him in.
And clearly he was. Once again, you know, the first quarter, I thought it was awesome. Great tempo to start the game. Thought they really were establishing. I mean, they established Aaron Jones really quick. And then on the 3rd and 2, they roll out empty backfield. And I'm like, okay, this is another McCarthy sort of play calling. I saw the play before that. Robert Tonyan was in the game. I'm like,
yeah, I haven't heard that name.
I was
in a while
questioning that. That
I think
didn't
the last
make sense.
Time I heard his name was when he hit the home run during the charity softball game. I think that's the last time I heard his name.
We're from Andy Herman about tweeting about how awesome the guy was in preseason. And then the defense to start the game too. You're saying just, you know, not having to, you know, work your way back from down 2 scores or whatever it has been in multiple games.
Yeah, the defense was amazing. The board
the
is
defense,
huge.
Exactly, and the defense was amazing. I mean, you get a sack by Lowry, and Kenny Clark meets him at Jared Goff, and we saw that multiple times to start the game. I want to say it was 4 or 5 three and outs. Most of them were contributed by sacks. That's where we were getting stops, which is awesome. That wasn't happening very often. And it came from throughout the game, many people. Fackrell.
Yeah, it wasn't just one person getting yep. through. Martinez was mm-hmm. the one that really caught my eye tonight.
And he was playing aggressive.
Yeah,
more aggressive than I'd seen.
I've said this before. I just want to see some aggressive play from the defense. I don't want this soft play. I mm-hmm. want aggressive. And I saw that both on the defensive line and by like the cornerbacks and the safeties.
Yeah.
They looked amazing today. Having Alexander back in the lineup
so huge.
Is crucial.
Mm-hmm. He can actually match up with anyone. I was concerned. I mean, I knew matchup-wise. I'm like, all right, Cooks and Alexander. That's just what it's going to be today. There's no ifs, ands, or buts who's going to be covering.
Exactly.
Especially with Kupp out. I mean, it even makes it more you know, apparent that that's going to be the matchup. And we all know how fast Brandon Cooks is. I mean, I would say most fans – I mean, even some Packer fans don't understand how fast Alexander is yet, just because we've seen him only in a few games.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly he can run with Brandon Cooks, which is...
That's huge.
That's awesome. That's very, very hopeful.
And not only can he keep up with his speed, but he can defend against him.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really impressive to me. So my two top defensive players are Martinez and Alexander tonight, for sure.
Absolutely. I would agree with those two. I would also put in Clay Matthews, believe it or not.
Yeah, he actually had a great game.
I think it was the first play of the game. For some reason, he was playing on the right side. And I actually rewound it because I thought he was playing on the left side of the field and got sucked in. And I had to rewind it. I'm like, oh, he actually did it. And then in the following play, he switched sides. So I was just to start the game. I'm like already being pessimistic towards Clay Matthews,
yeah,
which is
exactly.
usually how I watch him play, but throughout the game, amazing. I mean, he was all over the field.
Always there.
Yeah, all over the field. Didn't over pursue. He played within himself.
Which has been kind of him beating himself lately. But yeah, the over pursuing for him to not do that is crucial because then he's able to make those first drive tackle instead
mm-hmm.
of letting them get to the first down. They end up having to punt it away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think defense, like, they were very impressive. I was more impressed with the defense tonight than I was the offense.
Definitely. I would say the only people on defense that I have three. Whitehead. I don't know why he's getting so many plays.
He did have a great – I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how Gurley ended up catching it. But down the field,
he toe-tapped, too.
He stuck his arm out like he's supposed to, hit the ball, and it just obviously went the wrong direction.
He's playing in the nickel.
Yeah.
Next to Blake Martinez at linebacker,
one play
it's kind of goofy.
Determine your position.
Right, I agree. So it's like, why is Whitehead getting so many snaps? Tremont Williams is a step, if not a step and a half behind every single person he's covering. And then, I mean, the easy one, I guess, at this point, when he's not getting interceptions, he looks like he wants to play flag football, that being HaHa Clinton Dix. Woke up this morning. I'm up at my cottage in Sturgeon Bay. I don't get really good reception. And, like, the first thing I finally see on Twitter after, you know, it takes 5 minutes to load is, HaHa Clinton Dix possibly being on the trade block. You know, he had said a couple weeks ago he doesn't know if he'd be in green and gold after the end of this season.
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere for
very,
me.
Very strange. And I saw many other outlets tweeting about that. I saw a couple articles online.
Yeah,
so
I
like,
even heard it on the radio today during pregame.
Yeah.
So just kind of one of those weird things. But from what I'm hearing, like, pursue it if there's an option to go get somebody.
Right.
Or
a pick.
Get some money to pay another player. Maybe these are the things we need to do with guys that are on a contract year.
Yeah. But the Packers need HaHa so bad right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Bryce, I saw Bryce in the field a little bit today. Josh Jones clearly is just a gunner on the punt return team. That's all we've seen from him, which sucks on a second round pick. So if you get rid of HaHa, what do you really have in the back end?
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like we could explore the option, but at the same time, they'd be losing a great player.
Yeah.
That kind of knows the system, can be a great veteran in these next couple years.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has to show up a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, be aggressive. Go out and, I mean, we've seen it in small sample sizes. Let's say the one pick he had where he, what game was that? Was it the Redskins game? I don't remember. But the one where he, or maybe it was the Bills game where he basically was going for a hit and all of a sudden just ended up in his hands. Like, you know, he was going super aggressive, trying to knock a guy down, and it just, he ended up catching it. So let's look a little bit more positive here. Actually, but first, for a couple of the guys, I'm wondering why we're not seeing, on both sides of the ball, Josh Jackson. I don't know if he's still dealing with an injury. I didn't see him on the injury report today. I don't know if he's just a healthy scratch at this point. You know, you did see early on the first couple games him making plays. I guess that's on the defensive side of the ball. I did see Mike Daniels out for a couple series, it seemed like, in a row. You had Lancaster in there, which I didn't even know who that guy was. I had to look him up.
One of those people you have to go look at the roster and see who this guy is.
Why is that happening? But Daniels did come back. I don't know if he got tweaked. And then on the offensive side of the ball, the only one I'm really seeing is Jamon Moore. Like, you saw him so much in preseason, and it sounded like that was the guy they wanted to break out of the receiving group.
Yeah.
And he's not even on the field anymore. Now you see
Valdez. All these other younger guys are stepping up, and I'm having a lot of fun watching these younger guys, like MBS. And
St. Brown's awesome. Like, he had a couple plays where he ran like a 10-yard route over the middle, and Peters is kind of waiting for him, and he runs by Peters and, like, was running away from him in about 10 yards. He clearly has some speed, so he's fun to watch out there.
He's got speed and hands.
Definitely.
Which, I mean, as a receiver, that's what you need.
Mm-hmm. Defensively, I guess, as far as the whole game went, I saw a ton of pressure just from everywhere. It was up the middle, off the edge. I didn't see any corner blitzes or defensive back blitzes.
There's a lot of up the middle blitzing.
Right. Mostly Martinez. Daniels was getting pressure. Clark was getting pressure, but nothing like we'd seen from Pettin, you know, with those cornerbacks or the defensive back coming off the edge, which is fine. I mean, clearly he was able to get the pressure very often in the beginning of the game. It sucks because I was thinking the last week, you know, you kind of just take the bye week off, whatever. Like, it sucks. This team's not as good where we want to be. And, you know, I'm thinking, Rams are 7-0. Like, this is one of the – I mean, I remember watching the Thursday night football game. They played the Vikings. I'm like, that's one of the best games of football I've seen in a long time. And just the way Goff was slinging the ball and Gurley's playing. And so I'm like, if the Packers can somehow muster out this W, like, that'd be crazy. I don't expect it. I figured we were going to have a huge defensive game or Rodgers was going to have to play out of his mind. And I'm just thinking, I'm like, this could really – it sounds – kind of dramatic, so tell me if this sounds dramatic, but I felt like it could have been almost a make or break for Aaron Rodgers' career, almost, where it's like you're going up an undefeated team back in California, one of the, you know, the up and coming, you know, minds in football and the quarterback and Gurley. And I thought if he could have really won this game, like, with, I guess if Cobb would have been Allison, but I would have been made that even more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
But if he could have gotten that W, I guess the whole team, I thought that would have been huge. Like, that would have been just another notch in his belt.
Yeah, I think that would have been maybe not make or break.
I know. And it's like, and I think it was maybe because I'm sitting there like 13 days with no football, with Packer football.
Yeah. You're sitting there just kind of running through your mind all these situations. But I'm just trying to build it up. Like, this could have been a very important game in his career, being that this team went into the bye week looking. How do I put it nicely? Ugly.
Yeah.
Really ugly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for them, if they could go on the bye, get some rest, get these guys off of the injury report,
because they
had Cobb back, Allison back, Alexander back, they'd come in and really match up against the Rams. And they did, honestly. They really did. Only lost by 2. Take away that safety. And
yeah, seriously.
This game could have gone into overtime. You never know. But... yeah, I like to be an optimistic fan.
Yeah.
But realistically, my expectations were kind of low, which is really bad to say because I like to think that any team is beatable.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe this is the Rams' day.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it wasn't. Rams walk off undefeated, and Packers beat themselves in the end once again, which I think that's the most frustrating part for me is this team has all the talent, and they just beat themselves.
Yeah.
They could have had the ball on the 25-yard line, down two, just need to get into field goal range, and they could win it. But Montgomery mentally makes the error of not taking the knee, running it out, fumbling, and there's not enough time to get the ball back, and time runs out. So I think this game really could have turned the season around.
Absolutely.
Winning against an undefeated team, putting them at 7-1, and honestly, a 4-2-1 record looks a lot better than 3-3-1. So, especially with this division, every win is crucial because it's so tight. Like, we saw the Bears, with one loss, they go from leading the division to going to last place last week. So, every win that you can get is important. So, losing these really close games honestly hurts me a little bit more than I think a blowout would.
Yes.
Because if we get blown out, then it's like, okay, the Rams just are really, really good.
Yeah.
But today, the Packers were really, really good along with the Rams. And it was a very equal game, like yards, everything, just so equal. And then one play. So I think that's what's frustrating for me is that, yes, there was like there's errors throughout every game, both sides, you see it. But there's always going to be that one play that you want to take back because it can be a game changer. So I think, for me at least, taking the knee is the game changer. But also, my second behind that one would definitely be the safety, trying to just throw something short, get it out of the end zone. You don't need to, like, go for 20 yards. You don't need to go for the first down. Just get Rodgers out of the end zone.
So. And Aaron Nagler brought up 2 points on that play when I was reading on Twitter, just talking about why aren't you running a slant there, like I said earlier. And then you're going to run right up the middle, a power offense against Sue and Donald. Like, that's crazy. And that's insane.
This is where you're going to put Jones in. Like, Jones, he's a slippery runner. He's not a power runner. This is where you put, if you want to run up the middle like that, put Montgomery or Williams in. Because they have kind of the body to try and plow through. That's their run style, to break through people. Where Jones, he kind of finds the gap and there's not going to be a gap on the goal line like that, especially like you said, Donald and Sue, which I forgot how much I hated Ndamukong Suh playing against him, but
he's really he's not like a prick anymore though. He seems like he's really like took his attitude and just like chilled out. Like
he doesn't get Detroit was what he needed.
Yeah, and like Josh Sitton and him used to always get into it, and TJ Lang, like it doesn't happen anymore because those guys aren't there. And I don't know if he just matured a little bit.
Yeah, and you got to give kudos to Donald. He's a fantastic player.
He got his.
So I think it's okay that our line struggled with him a little bit more, but I think I expected him to get to Rodgers more. I was surprised.
Me too. I did
too. Just overall, like with the offensive line, I don't think there was any holding calls on
the there. I mean, there was four. I was saying that during the game. I'm literally saying it a lot. I'm like, there's how many penalties has there been?
Yeah.
And then there was finally the one on Saffold. The hold that he had against Mike Daniels on the big girly run. But I'm like, besides that, there was really no holding calls across the board, even in the secondary or in the trenches.
Yeah, on both sides too. So I think like that was crucial because especially with someone like Donald running at these guys, there easily could have been some holding calls. So I'm not sure if the refs just were not calling it as much, but it was really fun just to watch football players control the game.
Yeah.
Like, there was no referee control in this game. They really just let them play it out. And they did make the calls that were necessary. But I think this was actually just a really fun, clean game.
Yeah, clean game. It was decided on the field. I mean, literally to the final play. Do you remember when we were talking about J.K. Scott a couple weeks ago, how fun he was to watch? And now what's up with dude?
He had like a 25-yard punt.
Horrible.
I was like, what is this? Did he get a haircut or something?
I don't know. The special teams hurt us again today. And it was, you know, a couple weeks ago with Mason Crosby having the blunder of his career, you know, the game against the Lions. And now it's, you know, fumbling on a kick return and J.K. Scott not hitting over 40 yards. I mean, I think he had one maybe over 40 that I noticed. But it's just things like that. We have not seen as Packer fans a full 60 minutes of football yet. And it's crazy to me to think we're going into week 9 you know, we're coming off of a bye week. You'd think you'd have that. And it almost happened today. It really did. Like, if you don't have the Montgomery fumble at the end, I could almost take it away as like, okay, it was a full game. But then I would look back and be like, well, you know, J.K. Scott did kick like shit. Like, he didn't do very well.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So you just haven't had that yet.
We haven't had everybody have a good day. And I was honestly surprised, too, the more I think about it. Where was Jimmy Graham during this game?
I mean, he had the one catch that he was down, you know, at the half-inch line or whatever.
Once again, he gets a touchdown taken away. Mm-hmm. I think that's, like, his signature.
But that was here. The only – I think that was his – that might have been his first of two targets I saw maybe on him. I mean, he didn't have another catch. Besides that, he only had the one grab, I believe.
Yeah.
So, he had four targets, I guess, but I don't remember seeing the other two. It's weird to think also, Janelle, that – coming off the bye week, when I was looking at the schedule back in, you know, June, I'm looking here and it's like, all right, week nine, you know, you got the Patriots, you have the, you know, the Dolphins at Seattle, who you'd think thought was, you didn't really know what you're going to get. They're actually playing a lot better than I thought. Vikings, Cardinals, I thought would be better. They're not. Atlanta's playing above what their record is. So it's like, I figured the beginning half of this schedule, we would be maybe a 1-2 loss team going into LA and then into New England.
The schedule is definitely the harder schedule. So.
And now you go have to go next week and play in Foxborough Sunday night football, which, I mean, playing on the road in Foxborough is hard enough. And then Sunday night under the lights, it's like Tom Brady's almost like better. It's to the point now where I was talking with some people, some buddies, and people I work with. It's like you had to win one of these two games between the Patriots and the Rams. And like, now it's against the Patriots. So if you don't win then you're a 3-4-1 team. Like, I know the NFC North's not great, but it's still, I mean, there's a lot of ball left too, and there's divisional games coming up that teams,
exactly.
I mean, the Bears' offense is really good if you're watching the Bears right now. I mean, they're way better than they've been. The Vikings are, I mean, without Delvin Cook, Latavius Murray's been running like crazy. I know they're banged up on both sides, and then the Lions are...
They always find their way to sneak in.
The Lions have a run game now. Their defense is playing better. You know, it's the first year with Matt Patricia, so they're only going to get better as the year goes on. But you know, it's weird to think that the first half of the schedule was the one we struggled with, and maybe my expectations should have been flipped around at the point at the end of the year. I'll look back and be like, wow, only lost three games in the second half of the second half, which still doesn't, I don't think, get you into the playoffs, but it is what it is.
And that, so I guess talking about, you're saying had to win one of these two games.
Yeah.
And I think between the two, the Rams are the better team.
Absolutely.
I think they're better than the Patriots.
Yep.
So I think if this team shows up to New England, I think that they'll get the win.
I think so too.
If they can start, especially the issue of starting hot and not have, the thing is, they didn't really have to come from behind, per se. They weren't chasing. It was kind of like Packers had the 10-0 lead for a while, and then Rams found a way to pull ahead, and it was just a lot of, like, switching back and forth. It wasn't one team got up by two touchdowns and the other was chasing for the whole time. It was a really even game all the way down to the wire. So, yeah, two-point game.
And most of the time when the Packers have been behind, they've been, like, it's not only the other 11 guys are playing in front of their opponent, but it's actually like the clock. They're playing against the clock. Like, oh,
yeah, exactly.
Shoot, it's the fourth quarter. We're still down by two scores. Oh, 10 minutes left, and they just got a field goal, and we didn't score.
Like this
was consistently happening.
I think that's the weird thing about this game is I wasn't watching the clock.
No.
At all. Mm-hmm. Like, I have been, especially before the bye week, the 49ers, it was like, every play, look at the clock. Every play, look at the clock. Like, it wasn't a race against time. It was just football happening. So.
Yeah.
I think that was, it kind of gave me a different feel. I was still kind of biting my nails, and I think football has probably taken about 10 years off of my life at this point from stress.
For sure.
But I all in all, I'm really liking the team that came off the bye.
Yeah.
I think that
they seem
going into the bye,
they seem aggressive.
They were really ugly, and then coming off of the bye, they're looking aggressive and healthy, and I think that...
Rodgers is clicking too with his receivers. That's big.
Yeah, that's important too. He and especially after that MVS touchdown, his reaction when you get Rodgers pumped up, like the entire team, like the momentum clearly shifts. And I think that's the most important part. But then you see him on the bench after the Montgomery fumble, and he's just trying to kind of hold it in. I think I see him like throw a towel and he's just upset because
I think that was after the girly where he got the first down. He threw his towel, but even before that though, he rallied the troops. Like he had the receiving core, and I saw him talking. He was doing some math in his head. He was carrying the one, doing long division, figuring out how much time was going to be left.
Exactly.
So that's cool. Like he's still going to do that because I mean that's what you have to have out of Aaron Rodgers with these young guys and just a young team. But you know, let's take a little lighter note. How about the fact that before the game, you have it was Bengals Bucks and Fitzpatrick comes back in.
Yep.
And all of a sudden they cut to the Packer game, which thankfully they did. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, and the Fox announcers made sure, they're like, this has nothing to do with Fox. This has everything to do with the NFL's rules, yada, yada. And, like, just from the start, I noticed that. I'm like, that's kind of weird. And then how about the field? How about you could still see, like, the USC Trojan stuff?
I was watching with my roommate, and I was like, does this say Pac-12
on the Pac-12 on it. You still have the SC under the Rams logo, so it's like the Southern California Rams. In the end zone, not only do you have the NFL crucial catch, which is like a bunch of different colors already. Then you have in the actual end zone the different colors from USC. They're just, it was very, very bizarre. And then it's like in the Coliseum, which we all know is like just run down. The Rams are going to get a new stadium. Just so weird. And I wish, I mean, obviously Fox isn't going to keep talking about that, but I didn't see a lot of people on Twitter even talking about it, which I thought there had been more jokes. But
yeah, it took me a sec because I like kind of acknowledged it, but didn't really. And then, like, after watching, I was like, that says Pac-12. I was like, are they sharing a field? I was like, what is going on here?
Actually, now I think about it, they did, either Aikman or Brennan said something about how it had rained last night after the USC game. I don't even know who they played. And they couldn't get it off the field in time. And, they couldn't do it till this morning. And, wow, that's ugly. But, that's what you get when you have the Rams sharing a field with USC, and they're just a transplant team.
At least they're not playing on a baseball field.
Seriously, honestly, but here the Packers sit 3-3-1. Every year I go into a Packers season more optimistic than the last. I mean, this year my optimism was based off of the draft, the two cornerbacks they got, along with a pick for the following year, Jimmy Graham. I mean, who is just a stud.
All
of it from him.
Waiting for him to kind of have his moment where he really busts out and becomes like a consistent threat with this offense.
Yeah.
So it's like I wasn't even watching the first quarter on TV. I was driving back from Madison, so I was listening to it, and I heard his name once, maybe twice, and then I go inside and it's like, he wasn't even there.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing him. I don't remember him being targeted. It was really just a lot of Adams and then, like, the occasional just kind of spreading out between Allison Cobb and the young receivers. Mm-hmm. So.
And big runs by Jones, really.
Yeah. I mean, that's 33 yards.
Yeah.
Huge. So, I guess, talking about young receivers, you're talking about IR.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to kind of
get us
into that?
A couple guys, after this week, I guess going into week 9, anyone that was on IR, I guess before the season, can come back. There's a couple guys that we already know, like Jake Ryan's not coming back. Wilkerson was just put on. He wouldn't be designated to return anyways. But you do have Jake Kumerow, who I think we had at least a podcast. It was probably about 80% of Jake Kumerow.
Yeah,
so that's fun to see him possibly come back. I would imagine there's maybe a spot for him at this point with just some of the guys that banged up. Allison and Cobb came back today, but you don't have Jamon Moore like we talked about. Maybe he finds his way back to the mix. It kind of seems like EQ and MVS have kind of made their way, like, oh, we're the next two guys up. Mm-hmm. So it would be tough for Kumerow to come back. But, he did have some good flashes in preseason. Trevor Davis, maybe you see him come back. I think he was dealing with a hamstring injury before the season started, and
I honestly forgot about Trevor Davis, to be honest.
I wanted to, but after Montgomery's fumble,
for special teams.
So those are the couple guys to look at. I know Kyle Murphy's still on IR, but those are the two I think that actually could make an impact. Outside of that, there's other teams that are going to have their guys that come back from IR. And thankfully, injury-wise, I didn't see anyone, come out of the game today injured for us. So that's great to see.
Yeah, I think maybe one
late Whitehead at the end. Yep, he limped off. That's right.
Use the timeout for that one, but yeah. Other than that, like the, I think Jake Kummerle, he's kind of like my biggest question at this point because of the young studs that are kind of stepping up in his absence since he's gotten hurt. Like, where will he fill in? Has he kind of lost his role as being the next up for the young receivers? Will he get thrown in the mix? The only game, like, I don't see him getting any play time if he comes back against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I think that game, they need to go in with everybody that's healthy, everybody that's ready. Maybe he'll get a couple tries during the Miami game.
Sure, at home. Exactly. You can see that.
I think, like, in the next maybe month or so, that's probably the game that he has the most chance at to kind of get back into it. But all in all, like, I'm kind of questioning where does he stand now after this injury.
Definitely. Just backs up against the walls for the Packers again. Like I was saying earlier, just you try to be optimistic going into the season. You think it's going to be better than the last one with new players. You know, you've upgraded essentially Martellus Bennett with Jimmy Graham. You have better corners. You brought back a couple other guys, and it just hasn't seemed to click at this point. Tomorrow you will hear the podcast from Nick and Jacob, so make sure you check that out. This was episode 97, I believe. We're trucking along, Janelle.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed, we're on Facebook now, so that's pretty cool. I think it's just kind of a nice platform to be on. I prefer Twitter because I think my mom doesn't have Twitter, my grandma doesn't have Twitter. I think they might have Facebook, so it's cool to just, I guess, branch out into other platforms. Of course, you can always check out the Pack a Day podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and wherever else you choose to download your podcast from. Make sure to write a review if you'd like. Any questions or comments or anyone's, I guess, takes that you prefer, leave that 5-star. And we did have some people that we do this podcast with that were recognized by a few other platforms this week. Many people that we're doing this with, I know Matub, Andy Herman, Zach Jacobson, I'm sure I'm missing some other names were recognized. So that's pretty cool that we're, you know, 97 episodes in, and these people, I know they've been doing things before this as far as writers and whatever else with Cheesehead TV and everything else they do, but it's pretty cool to be a part of this at this point.
Yeah, especially after only 3 months, so proud of this team, happy to be a part of it, so.
As always, you can follow Packaday Podcast at Packaday Podcast on Twitter. You can follow Janelle at BigMac_4. You can follow myself at Matt_FRA_. And, of course, anyone you find along the way in their bio that is a Packaday, I guess, host, Packaday co-host, contributor, whatever you may call that, give them a follow. Many other people out there that are, you know, adding to this podcast that is turned into, I guess, something that is just snowballed in a short period of time. But that is all we have for you tonight. Let's hope in the next coming weeks we... Janelle and I have more positive things to talk about, even though if we muster them up.
We'll be
back after the Miami game. Maybe we'll see Osweiler. Maybe it's Tannehill. I know they're completely banged up across the board on offense.
By that time, Brocktober will be over.
Brocktober will be over. Definitely. But for Janelle Mackey, I am Matt Freilich. You guys were just in the Pack Day podcast. And Janelle, as always,
go Pack. Goes now under some pressure. Steps up, throws it over the middle. Goes! 30, turns upfield, 25.
It over, starts to his left. Now he moves, starts to the right side. Snap to A-Rod. Looking downfield, being flushed. Rolling left, winds up. Rainbows it high and deep into the end zone. It's high pointed and caught. It is caught for a touchdown. Yes! A miracle. Yes! Pass. Yes! Yes! Yes!